the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation. Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, July 7th, 2021, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast. Coming to you from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Smart Mark. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking. Lord God, we thank you for the energy that you're giving us through the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit to even be here today. We ask that the word that goes out around the world from this broadcast would be anointed by the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit and nothing less. And Lord God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and only Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross for me. You would have done it for me, even if I was the only person on the face of this planet to do it for. And I thank you for that. And I would like to see a lot more people join me, getting ready, watching, waiting, and praying for your imminent return and the rapture that is to come soon and very soon. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world. As you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, it is with a narration concerning a Netflix cartoon for children titled Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters, taken from an episode called Masters of Order. This predictive programming depicts people of the imaginary Charter City clamoring to receive a brand new device called the Smart Mark that, in their world, is to take the place of their smartphones, and it can be used for a multitude of everyday tasks. This new Smart Mark tattoo was invented by the imaginary company called Rook, R-O-O-K, Rook Unlimited, and was, as you will see, created to control the people who have it tattooed on the underside of their right arm at the wrist area, my friends. Before we get started in this short illustration, please allow me to remind you of some of the alternative meanings for the word rook, R-O-O-K, which are trick, dupe, deceive, and exploit. Gee, we're off to a great start for a cartoon, aren't we? With that said, my friends, let us now investigate the verbiage of Masters of Order. A cartoon for children aired by Netflix in 2018, which begins thusly. The cartoon opens with a reporter speaking at an event. Charter City is stunned by the sudden rollout of Rook Unlimited's most fantastic device ever, the Smart Mark. The scene shows a person sitting in a chair while a machine attached to the right arm of the chair is imprinting a digital tattoo mark on the underside of the person's right wrist. The reporter continues her report on this new device by saying, "Throw your other devices away, because the Smart Mark is more than just a phone. It's part of you." She continues by stating, "Use it as cash, book your travel, and even shoot video." Distribution points are all over the city, and don't let the lines discourage you. Rook Unlimited Smart Mark is worth the wait. The next scene shows a woman coming out of the event after having just had the Smart Mark applied. The reporter shoves a microphone in front of her face, and the woman says, "I never realized how wonderful technology could make me feel. The Smart Mark has brought order to my life." The reporter then turns to the camera and proudly says, "And the best part, it's absolutely free. A gift of thanks to our city from Rook Unlimited." She is saying this as what appears to be top officials from the company coming out from a trailer for a photo op, waving to a cheering crowd who have gathered just after having received their Smart Mark. Then the scene suddenly changes to inside the trailer, where a team of robots who look somewhat like the stormtroopers from Star Wars are watching what is going on outside the trailer as the company officials greet the public. One robot standing in front of the big screen turns and says to others, who look just like him, one sitting on a couch and others standing around behind it, 23% of the population has been given the Smart Mark, number one. Number one replies by saying, "Time to test our system, number six. The Flux Fighters are out there somewhere. Teaming up with Jonathan Rook, let's put our new recruits to work subtly." Number six then looks at a tablet, which is picturing a grid of the city. He then presses a location point on the tablet, and a message is sent to the people with the Smart Mark tattoos. And all of a sudden, they stop whatever they're doing and instantly begin zombie mode. As one guy says, "We should find the Flux Fighters." So an angry mob of people began to gather and start aimlessly searching for the Flux Fighters. The scene cuts to seeing people who are going about their everyday life, walking down the street, getting on a subway, all looking like an aimless bunch of zombies. And in the background, what must be Jonathan Rook is speaking, saying, "Growing up in this city, the streets of Old Town, I saw the worst mankind had to offer. Chaos, disorder, I vowed to make it all change." The scene is showing someone having their arms scanned to buy coffee. At the same time, Rook's dialogue continues. "To make it all better, all these years working in secret, rising up the ranks of the tech men, it was all leading to this day. Order has finally been established in Charter City. No child will ever have to fear for their safety again." Number six says, "The people owe you the greatest of debt, number one, for liberating them from the chaos of their lives." The scene then cuts to what you would assume are a couple of Flux Fighters crawling through what looks to be an AC duct. One guy says to the other, "You guys love technology. You didn't want to get smart marked?" The other guy replies, "No way. That is clearly some shady business. Who would want to be?" The scene then suddenly changes to two guys who are out on the street where they have just met up with the robots who look like the stormtroopers. The lead robot says to them, "You call yourself a man of science. World order is our destiny. Submit to a smart mark and join the glorious victory order over chaos, or you will be eliminated." Then the scene changes to a young man and his friend coming in to speak with his grandpa, who is playing chess with a friend. The young man excitedly says, "Grandpa, where is everybody?" The grandpa replies, "Ah, they went. They all went to get those foolish new devices." The young man then says, "No, they can't. Grandpa, those things are dangerous." Then the young man's friend says, "It's a conspiracy, mind control." The grandfather then jumps up and yells, "Aha, I knew it." The scene then changes again to Stretch Armstrong talking to some people about reaching their families before they can get marked. Another young man says, "3 hours is enough time for us to get to our families. Maybe we can stop them before they get marked." The scene changes once again and is where some people are looking at a wall of big screens and a woman looking at some graph on the big screen and other pictures says, "They seem to establish checkpoints of some kind. This is how they keep order." Another being, maybe not a human being, but a being just the same, says to the woman, "This is the nightmare I warned you about. People think that smart marks are brand new rook tech that will improve their lives. They don't realize they're being tricked." The scene then changes for a final time, and interestingly enough, one of the stormtroopers is speaking to number one and says something to the effect of, "Not all are marked, but your smart chip makes it possible to control everyone in Charter City, whether they are marked or not." He then pushes a computer chip like a thumb drive into a computer console and then pushes a button that appears to activate a huge 5G antenna, which begins to control all the people in the city. The scene ends with a digital computer scene showing a numeric value of 98%, which one would have to assume is to indicate that 98% of the people of Charter City had been chipped, so to speak. Which, according to the just-shared fantasy worldview, gives us an indication as to just how many people would have actually been ready for the rapture. Only 2%? I wonder just how close the figure really is to the real number, of which the Lord God only knows, who will actually be ready when the Lord Jesus Christ breaks the eastern sky to whisk away all who belong to him in the twinkling of an eye at his coming in the rapture. Food for spiritual thought. And on that thoroughly thought-provoking note, my friends, I will be right back after the break so that we may finish our investigation into the smart mark.
I was finished, game over, couldn't carry the weight on my shoulders. Opened my eyes, lifted me up, up, now I'm alive. second chance. I was lost, I was falling apart. But you came along, you hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You came along, and you hit the restart.
Newsflash, my friends, you do not have to be on a dead-end road without a mission. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ hit the restart button on you, and as you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins, begin to walk with Him, begin to know God's Word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself, you can be ready, watching, and waiting for Jesus's imminent return in the rapture so that you will not be left behind to suffer under the tyrannical rule and reign of the Antichrist, and then be first in line for the mark of the beast, which will doom your soul for all eternity. Today is the day of salvation, my friends. Listen up, there's more to come. My friends, since our theme for today is the soon coming mark of the beast, let us get an update on just what is taking place on the U.S. digital dollar scene. As we look into a piece written by Mr. Rob Garver, writer for Voice of America, dated June 4th, 2021, titled U.S. Mulls Launching Digital Dollar, of which Mr. Garver begins in this fashion. Washington, a top Federal Reserve official raised eyebrows in the financial services world last week by saying that the central bank is stepping up the development of a plan that could result in the issuance of a digitized version of the U.S. dollar. In doing so, she indicated that the U.S. is joining a growing movement among major economic powers to rethink how money will be exchanged in the future. The writer continues by sharing that the U.S. would not be the first country to consider launching what is known as a central bank digital currency, or CBDC, of which I have talked to you folks about before, if you recall, my friends. China is taking a lead role. Well, of course they are. But the significance of the dollar to global trade and to the world economy is, in general, makes the Fed's interest in the project especially meaningful for the development and acceptance of what would amount to a form of digital cash. Mr. Garber says proponents of a CBDC point to a future in which electronic payments between individuals or businesses could be instantaneous, and permanent, with no need for a bank to serve as an intermediary, and in which even individuals without, listen up, my friends, access to a bank account could easily receive secure electronic payments. Doubters express multiple worries, including concerns about privacy, pointing out that the system could give the federal government access to transactions that individuals would prefer to make in private. There are also economic concerns, such as the possibility that a digital dollar circulating freely around the globe could displace national currencies issued by smaller countries' central banks. I thought that was the idea, my friends, to bring it into a one world currency. Whether it's a good thing or not, says the writer, the possibility of national governments issuing digital versions of their own currencies is gaining traction globally, with China leading the way on a digitized version of the yuan that is already, listen up, my friends, in limited circulation. And I just want to give you a sneak preview of what's coming on February 4th, 2022, my friends, because China plans to use it high, wide, and handsome at the Winter Olympics that will be in Beijing. So look for things to explode from now and through next year and beyond with digital currencies. David Treat, a senior executive with Accenture, who leads the consulting firm's efforts in the area of digital currencies, said that his company has worked with a majority of central banks in the G20 countries, and he estimates that a quarter of them will have some sort of digital currency in circulation by 2024. If not before, my friends, and I would venture to say that it'll be a lot more than a quarter if it's going around the world. With CBDCs seemingly an inevitable part of the world's financial future, here are some of the pros and cons of the new technology being applied to the world's most widely used currency. Pro: low volatility. Unlike other digital currencies such as Bitcoin, a digital U.S. dollar would be worth exactly that, $1. The digital token held by the owner is backed and guaranteed by the Federal Reserve. Now, how reassuring is that, my friends? There is no question as to its value, said Treat. Whether it's the dollar in your wallet, the dollar in your savings account, or the central bank digital currency version of the dollar in your digital wallet, all of them always equal $1. Pro: efficiency. While normal digital transactions might seem instantaneous, there is a vast web of digital infrastructure underpinning even a simple Venmo money transfer, requiring multiple exchanges of information between financial services providers, confirming that the person making the payment has the resources to cover it and that the recipient is equipped to receive it. A breakdown in any part of the system can result in delayed payment confirmation. And the part they don't want to tell you is lost money out in the middle of the nowhereville, okay? By contrast, said Treat, a digital dollar would operate like cash. That's what they want you to think, my friends. In that all the information needed to verify a transaction has taken place exist within the token stored in a digital wallet. When a payment is made, the information is encoded in the token itself, making that information a permanent element of the token. This means that two individuals with digital wallets on their smartphones could theoretically exchange digital dollars for goods and services without an internet connection, so long as the devices were able to connect through now ubiquitous near-field communications technology. Let me just tell you what that means, my friends. You know when you wave your phone in front of something and it picks it up? Well, that's what it's talking about. And if you have two smartphones that are in close proximity, that same technology can work from phone to phone. Exciting! When both digital wallets regain an internet connection, a record of the transaction would be stored in a distributed ledger that would add a future degree of security. That does not sound very secure to me, my friends, but okay. Another pro is global accessibility. A reliable digital dollar could be used around the world in both cross-border and domestic transactions. One of the key potential benefits of CBDC would be reduced cost and friction in cross-border exchange, said Daniel Gorfein, a director, my tongue is twisted, of the Digital Dollar Project. Keep that title in mind, my friends, because you will be hearing more about the Digital Dollar Project from me without a doubt, I'm sure, said Daniel Gorfein, a director of the Digital Dollar Project, a nonprofit effort that is aiding in the push to roll out a digital dollar. It is important that the U.S. plays a leadership role in establishing global standards around CBDC to foster this potential, he says. With the proliferation of smartphones in even some of the world's poorest countries, CBDCs in general could help bring many people around the world into the digital economy, he says. To the extent that a digital wallet on a mobile device is lower cost from a technological, operational, and regulatory perspective, more underbanked individuals may gain efficient on-ramps to the financial system, said Gorfein, who answered questions in an email exchange with VOA or Voice of America. This should certainly hold true with the U.S. and abroad. Indeed, the experience of countries like Kenya show that digital access can have a strongly onto the cons, privacy concerns. Yeah, that is the biggest con of all computing systems of the world today, my friends. The idea that the Federal Reserve would be running a system that tracks an untold number of financial transactions conducted by private citizens raises alarms among privacy advocates. Many point to China's digital yuan system, in which the government sees access to transaction data as an explicit feature. In an interview with CoinDesk TV last week, Brian Brooks, who serves as the acting chief regulator of the U.S. National Banks, or who served as the acting chief regulator of the U.S. National Banks during the Trump administration, said that he doesn't believe that the U.S. ought to go down the same road as Beijing. Well, I think he needs to get his Bible out, because not only will the U.S., Beijing, Kenya, and every other part of the world one day soon and very soon be on the same one world currency. The idea of funneling everybody into the Federal Reserve for a CBDC feels a lot like asking people to go back to the post office, said Brooks, now the CEO of cryptocurrency trading platform Binance. I just don't think that that's America's way. It's clearly, he said, China's way, but I don't think we're going to see that in this country. Oh, yes, my friends, we're going to see that and a lot worse. But I hope to be seeing it from a heavenly perspective, because by the time the mandatory taking of the mark of the beast arises, my friends, those who are ready, watching, waiting, and ready to go with the Lord Jesus Christ will have gone. So that is what this program is about here today, being ready to not be here when the mark of the beast actually does come soon and very soon. Supporters of a CBDC like TREAT say that the Fed's operation of the system should be seen as a plus to privacy advocates, because the central bank would be bound by the U.S. Constitution's Fourth Amendment ban on the unreasonable search and seizure of personal information. Yes, my friends, that is until we come into a one-world government where the U.S. Constitution just will not even exist. Another con: undermining local currencies, making it possible for individuals outside the U.S. to easily exchange payments in U.S. dollars could be good for people on an individual level, but bad for countries trying to maintain a national currency. There we go again, my friends. They still haven't gotten the memo that they're all going to one currency, and it will be controlled not by the U.S. government or the central banks of the world, but by the Antichrist himself. This is the part they're missing. Please don't miss this, my friends. It is the most important part. If the dollar were to supplant the local currency as the preferred medium of exchange, it could damage the buying power of individuals reliant on it and harm the local central bank's ability to manage its own money supply. Yes, my friends, once again, I have to reiterate, that is the idea. It's a problem that Gorfine acknowledges must be addressed. Well, I'm sure it won't be. Studying the potential for increasing international dollarization is prudent, he said. There may be ways to mitigate certain risks, however, including by limiting, now listen to this, my friends, doesn't this sound a little weird? By including the limiting of holdings in digital dollars. Oh, so we're going to go to a totally cashless society, but they're going to tell you how much money you can have. And if you read other articles and things that are being talked about down the pipe, it says, you know, that they're going to be able to cut you off. And so if they don't want you buying a Big Mac because you're heavy set, well, then you're just cut off. You're not buying that. When you go to pay for it, they'll say, sorry, Charlie, you're not getting this. In the long run, however, including by limiting holdings in digital dollars, in the long run, to extend that demand grows for access to digital currencies, it is a good thing for those offerings to be underpinned by strong democracies that embed key norms and rule of law. There's that phrase, my friends, the rule of law. Just go back to 1991 and look for that short clip on YouTube that talks about President Bush Sr.'s little speech on the New World Order, my friends, and how the rule of law plays out in that little plan that is still at the helm at this moment. 1991, President Bush Sr., YouTube, speech on the New World Order. It says that in the long run, to that extent, that demand grows for access to digital currencies. It is a good thing for those offerings to be underpinned by strong democracies that embed key norms and rule of law with a digital currency offering. My friends, don't be fooled by the U.S. making it sound like the digital dollar is a long way off, because it will be in full force before you know it, or before you even really realize it. What has been shared here today, my friends, is to serve as a stark reminder that the soon coming tyrannical open rule and reign of the Antichrist's beast, of Satan's Antichrist beast, rather, accompanied by his false prophet during the time of what the Bible calls the time of great tribulation, also known as the time of Jacob's or Israel's trouble, which is set in the second 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation, will be the implementers of the mark of the beast, which is also outlined in the very word of God, which will definitely bring in a new ordering of the world, such as has never been seen in the history of this present world. With that said, the next reason, and the main reason for this show, my friends, is to remind all who are living outside of a personal relationship in good standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of the world and is the same who holds the keys to eternal life, that it is high time and way past time that you get your spiritual house in order. For the Word of God says that today is the day of salvation. Today, my friends, is the day to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to invite Him to come and live in your heart, so that you can be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for His imminent return in the soon coming rapture, when He comes to whisk away all who belong to Him, just before the time of the outpouring of His Father's wrath from heaven upon the godless, ungodly, and unbelieving of this present world. My friends, I assure you that you want to be ready for the rapture and not to be standing in line for the mark of the beast. Why? Well, here, let's the Word of God tell you exactly why, as seen in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, where John the Revelator states, "And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon," which is in reference, my friends, to the false prophet. "And he executeth all the power of the first beast before him," which is in reference to Satan's Antichrist beast, "and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, says the word of God. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666, my friends. And let us not forget Revelation chapter 14, which is not talked about as much, my friends. Verses 6 through 11, which John the Revelator continues by stating, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And there followed another angel, says John, saying, "Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb," which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, "and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and the image and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, why his Father in heaven, who is the one and only true and living God, allowed him, Jesus that is, to come to this world. And it is stated in this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," who is he? He's Jesus Christ, "might be saved." It says might be saved because you have a free will to choose in whom you will serve for all eternity. It will either be the Lord Jesus Christ or Satan in the lake of fire. He that believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, is not condemned, says the word of God. But the same word of God says, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And everyone on the face of the planet who has a thinking mind, my friends, knows what the name of the only begotten Son of God is. And it is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One of God. Jesus continues to tell us of his love for us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, where he begins by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I, Jesus, said, go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, Jesus said, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, Jesus said, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. My friends, the word way, as I always tell you, means method. Look it up. It's very plain. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Jesus here is saying, I am the method. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And for that very reason, my friends, Jesus as well gives this invitation to all who will come, found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, which states, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That door is the door of your heart, my friends. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He says, If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I, Jesus said, will grant to sit with me in my throne, which means power, my friends. The word throne here is referring to power. Even as I, Jesus said, also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, or power, my friends. He that has an ear, says Jesus, let him hear what the Spirit, and as you will notice, in the King James version of the Bible, at least, as it should be, the Spirit is spelt with a capital S because it's talking about hearing the small, still voice of God's Holy Spirit. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And remember, my friends, churches are not buildings. They are people. So the only question left now, my friends, is how do you enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And of course, the Bible has that answer as well. And is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, where Paul begins by stating that if thou, or you, shall confess with thy, or your, mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine, or your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou, or you, shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, I like to say right living in Jesus Christ. And the word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is the name of the Lord, my friends? His name is Jesus Christ. And it says specifically that we are to call upon his name and ask the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, my friends. So that is what Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 13 is exactly for. It's the template for us to know how to call upon the name of the Lord according to God's will, according to the plan that God has set forth through the precious and holy shed blood of his one and only begotten Son's blood that was placed upon the cross of Calvary, my friends, so that we will be able to enter into God's eternal kingdom. My friends, the only way to be received of the Lord God is by way of his plan. And his plan is the one set forth at the cross by the shedding of the precious and holy blood of his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, for the covering and remission of the sins of all mankind who have ever, who will ever, and who are walking on the face of this planet right now, my friends. But it specifically says in the Word of God that you must call upon him, because for you to call upon him is to exercise your free will to say, Lord, save me. I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I know that you went to the cross. You shed your precious and holy blood for the covering and remission of my sins, and that your Father God, as the Word of God states, on the third day raised you from the dead. And when you were raised from the dead, I, Lord Jesus, was on your mind. You brought eternal life to each and every one of us that will call upon your name, that will follow you, that will walk in the precepts of what the Word of God states, both in the Old and New Testament, as the Old Testament was types and shadows of those things that were to come in the New Testament. And yes, we do live in the New Testament time, but the reference back and forth between the Old and New Testament is for clarity, for the Word of God is able to show its complete story from start to finish by cross-referencing the scriptures. There's never a contradiction. There's never an error. It is the perfect Word of God, and it is our roadmap to eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what the New Testament shows us from the very beginning, who Jesus was, what he did, why he did it, how he did it, what we can expect because he did it. And that is, we can expect to receive eternal life if we become a servant unto the Lord God through his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. If we're covered, spiritually speaking, with the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord God is able to look upon us, because God is not able to look upon sins, my friends, but he does. He is able to look at those who have been spiritually covered by the precious and holy shed blood of his one and only begotten Son, because that is why he allowed him to come in the first place, that his creation would be able to spend eternity with him if they so chose to do so. Jesus going to the cross reunites us with the Lord God who created us. He created us for fellowship, and he loves us so much, but he cannot look on sin. And the world fell back in the Garden of Eden. And from that time, we have been in need of a Savior. At the time that Adam and Eve first walked in the garden, it was heaven on earth. But they gave that up by sinning against God, by being disobedient to him and his word. His word was, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they just couldn't help themselves because they were more in tune to follow Satan instead of the perfect world that the Lord God had given them. It's a sad state of affairs, but thank God he gave us a second chance to be reunited with him, that we may and will walk with him in eternity forever through what his precious and holy, one and only begotten Son did upon the cross of Calvary for this world. My friends, today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, today's the day. We never know at what time our life is going to end. We don't know if we're just going to stop breathing. We don't know if something wacko in this world that you see happening every minute of every day now is going to involve us, and that we would no longer be among the land of the living. And my friends, while you're among the land of the living is the only time that you have this opportunity to choose in where you will spend your eternity. because after you've taken your last breath, whoever you were serving at that last breath will be who you serve for all eternity. Your fate will be sealed. So today, my friends, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your only Savior, your one and only Savior, then today is your day. If you feel the pricking of God's Holy Spirit in your heart saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Time is so short. You can see the signs of the times. They're all around you. They line up with the Word of God. They're just coming one right after another today, my friends. The Lord is so trying to tell us this is it. It's the end. He's actually appeared to people in visions and dreams and told them, I am coming soon. I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. Get ready. I am coming. So today, my friends, if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your only way of escape from the wrath of God that is soon to be poured out upon this earth without measure concerning the godless, ungodly, and unbelieving. And when I say unbelieving, I mean in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. For everyone who does not walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not be in heaven. So don't let that be you. Today, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It's by your words, your heart. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows if the words coming out of your mouth are faithful and true, or if they're just words from your mind instead of your heart and spirit. So today, my friends, let us pray together for those of you who want to be ready to walk into the kingdom of God whenever the Lord Jesus Christ calls. Please pray this prayer with me, my friends, that you may be on the beginning of your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say journey, I do not mean New Age journey, my friends. I mean biblical journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, as the word conveys. With that said, let us pray. Father God, I humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking. Lord God, I thank you so much for sending your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and only Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. You have anointed him and sent him to do the work that you have prepared for him, and he has accomplished his work, and now it is up to us to receive it. Lord God, thank you so much for sending back the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit upon the day of Pentecost as well, when Jesus returned to heaven, that we would have not only the Holy Spirit to walk by us, but to be in us and to move through us to accomplish the work that you have prepared here on the earth for us to do. It is by your Spirit, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, I just humbly come before your throne today, and I bow down spiritually speaking, and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would please forgive me of my sins. I come to you with a broken and contrite heart and spirit. And Lord Jesus, I know that you know already that that is the truth. And I am here today to say that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, if you would please forgive me of my sins and set me upon the straight and narrow path, not looking to the left or right, that I may be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for your imminent return and the rapture, that I may forever be with you. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are faithful and true to do that which you have promised, and I know today you have received me into the eternal family of the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious gift of eternal life. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way in my life each and every day, that you would bring all things to my remembrance that I have need of, that you would help me to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to prick my heart and soul to receive the indwelling power of your Spirit, Lord God, by way of the evidence of speaking with other tongues, that I would seek you daily for it until it is mine. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen and amen. Well, my friends, I hope you've enjoyed this show today. And with that said, it is a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his perfect shalom or peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?